Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Dalet and Brachos. Let's get underway. Okay, we talked about David's schedule. We talked about David's schedule because we were talking about the Mishmaros. We're talking about the Mishmaros because the Mishnah mentioned that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is that you have until the first Mishmar in order to say your Kriya Shema. The mitzvah to say Kriya Shema every night. The mitzvah begins at Seitz HaKochavim, at least according to the Mishnah. May not be everyone's opinion, but that's certainly the Mishnah's opinion. And it goes until what point exactly? So Rabbi Elazar says it goes until the first Hashmara. They are watches during the night. These are, we're talking metaphysically right now. The Malachim have a Mishmar that they take every night, so that they divide the night into how many units. So that's subject to a debate. It's either going to be three or four. It's a machlokus already amongst the Tanaim, between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan, three or four. What's the point of the Mishnah? We know, even though things that are metaphysical we typically don't know. I mean, there's something called Nevuah, there's something called Ruach HaKodesh, so we have a little bit of an insight, but generally speaking, we don't know. But when it comes to the Mishmar, so we do know. We have a general sense of when the Mishmaros are, based on the simanim that the Gemara provided for us yesterday. The dogs barking, the donkeys braying. There are simanim in order to identify for us when we know, so we could know. It's possible for us to know. Halach lamaisa. When exactly am I going to be able to say Shema, according to Rabbi Eliezer? So I'll look at the simanim and I'll know, even though this is a metaphysical action. And so we talked about Mishmar, so it led us to the discussion of David HaMelech. He woke up in the middle of the night. Chatzos Laila Akum. I woke up in the middle of the night. Lahodos, in order to praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yesterday we discussed exactly what his nightly schedule was. Some say that that the first part of the night he wasn't sleeping as well. He was learning in Torah, and the second night he was writing his Tehillim, his poetry, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are other explanations. Some say that he just slept he didn't really sleep the first night. He was drifting in and out the first part of the night, and then for the second half of the night, he got up and he was ka'ari. He was like a lion the second half of the night. What happened in the morning, finally, when the morning came? So he had to play king. And as playing king, so he had to deal with the economy of the Jewish people. So the last thing we ended off with was David HaMelech and how he dealt with the economy. So the suggestion was, yesterday, the Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, the Jewish people need a Parnasa, what are we going to do? So his first suggestion was wealth distribution. So why don't we just simply, why doesn't the economy sustain itself? It let everyone do business with one another, and they simply said that will not work. Wealth distribution will not work, and I beg you please to quote me out of context. So it won't work.
Trickle down.
So that it won't work. So the Gemara says, so now then what? So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go to war. Nothing better for the economy than a good old-fashioned war. So he says, let's go to war. And the last thing we left off with yesterday is, what is the process in which they're now going to go to war? So in other words, this is David HaMelech going to war to stimulate the economy. Okay? That's certainly a mouthful, certainly an interesting idea that's proposed. And I know historically, this Eitzah has been followed. Amar Lehem, we are four lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're on Gimel Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Amar Lehem, Lechu, Pashtu Yadechem, Bigadud. So let's go to battle. So Miyad. So here we go now. It's a three-step process in order to finally go out to war. Yahatzim Bachi Tofel. So first Eitzah. We need some sort of advice. Meaning, Rashi says, Eizah Hua Derech Yelchu, Ve'echet Sivu Matzav U'mashchiz, Ve'tachzis Se Ma'arav Milchama. How to ambush, how to strategize, all the recon information that you need in order to go to battle. So Eitzah. V'nimlach in the Sanhedrin, and then we ask permission from Sanhedrin. If you look at Rashi, it's interesting. Rashi says, Not lemein rishus, kideish yispal alayhem. We need permission from Beis Din so that they pray on our behalf. And finally, shawalim be'urim v'tumim, and then we're going to ask the urim v'tumim. You see, this is the best part about going to war. Finding out if you're going to win or if you're going to lose. So in other words, once you got that good information, so then it's much easier to go to war. And that's exactly what Rashi says. You ask the Urim V'Tumim, Im Yatzlichu, if you're going to win or lose. It only begs the question. So if you know you're going to win or you know you're going to lose, so why do you need permission from Beis Din, and why do you need permission, and why do you need Beis Din to pray on your behalf? Because there's winning and then there's winning. Right? In other words, it could be that you're winning, but casualties are going to be very high. And it could be that it won't stimulate the economy and it just won't do what you want it to do. And of course, you can have a lot of soldiers who died, or you could win, and it could be a rout, just an absolute rout. Right? Six-Day War is an unbelievable example of what was an absolute rout. So it could go one way or the other, and both could be winning. So in other words, it may come out to be a victory, but the kind of victory it's going to be, that's why you need Sanhedrin, that's why you need Tefillah. Okay. I'm Rav Yosef Maikra. So now we're going to quote the Psukim that show us exactly this format of Eitza, Sanhedrin, Orm V'Tumim. Maikra, so we go to Psukim in Divrei Hayamim. The Achri Achitofel Benayu Ben Yoyada, the Ev Yasar Sar Tzava LaMelech Yoav. And we go step by step through this pasuk. Achitofel Zo Yoetz. So by inquiring first of Achitofel, he's the Yoetz. He's the one who's giving the advice. V'chenu Omer V'atzas Achitofel Asher Yatz B'yamim Ahim. Kaisher Yishal B'dvar Elokim. Good. Now we turn to Benayahu Ben Yehoyada. Ze Sanhedrin. That's a reference to Sanhedrin. He was the Av Beis Din. And finally, Evyasar Elu V'Tumim. Evyasar is the Urim V'Tumim. V'chein Omer V'Nayahu Ben Yoyada La Kresi V'Ala Placing. V'Lam Nikrashmo Kresi U'Placing. Now, Urim V'Tumim also goes by the name of Kresi U'Placing. Why? Kresi Shekortim Divrehem. Placi Shemuflahim B'Divrehem. So crazy because the words are cut, as Rashi describes, the words that come out from the Urim V'Tumim are very weighted, are very specific, and placey, they are wondrous, mufla. And so therefore they are giving the pronouncement of whether the Jewish people are going to win or lose a battle. And then, v'acharkach sarts v'alamelch yoav, and then we go to battle. So in other words, we go through the process of Eitza, Sanhedrin, and then Urim V'Tumim, and then we go to battle. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Adav, I'm Yilam, Rav Yitzchak Bar Adav, Rav Yitzchak Bar Adav. Now we go back to David waking up in the middle of the night. We have another pasuk that speaks to this idea. Ura Kvodi, Ura Hanevel, V'chinor A'ira Shachar. Okay? Classic song also. But that's another pasuk that describes the victory, David HaMelech being woken up in the middle of the night by the Kinor. Rabbi Zera Amar Moshe Lolam Hayayo, Deva David Nami Havayada. Now the Gemara is going to do an about face. Meaning, if you remember from yesterday, we were talking about midnight, and who knew about midnight? The Gemara yesterday assumed, well, no one really knew about midnight, meaning the exact moment of midnight. Moshe didn't know because he said, Kachatzos Halayla, and David didn't know as well. David had the harp, the flute, whatever the instrument was, wake him up at midnight, but he himself didn't know exactly when midnight was. Okay, so, they didn't have the watches back then. They simply did not know when midnight was. That was yesterday's assumption. That was Brachos Dav Gimel. But now today's Brachos Dav Daled, the Gemara is now going to do an about-face. The Gemara is going to suggest that, no, Moshe knew. He knew exactly when midnight was. Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe Lolam Havayada, V'David Nami Havayada. They knew. Moshe knew. David knew. V'kim into David Havayada, Kin Olam Alei, Litori Mishnate. So, if David knew exactly when midnight was, so why did he have the Kinor? Wake him up. Meaning, he was sleeping at midnight. So the Kinor provided him an alarm clock. V'kem d'moshe aviyad alam alei lamemar kachatzos. Good. Now, if Moshe knew exactly when midnight was, so why did he say kachatzos? Because if you remember yesterday's daf, we said that Moshe said, instead of saying bachatzos alayla, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at midnight, so Moshe said kachatzos, yeah, right around midnight. And the assumption yesterday's daf was, because he didn't know. He didn't know exactly when it was. And now he's saying, so now we're going to give an explanation of why Moshe said kachasos. So Moshe goes over Hashem, Yitu asignine paro v'yamru Moshe badaihu. Da'amar mar limei l'shon chalomar en yodea, shema tizbadeh v'teyaches. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Moshe knew. But if Moshe said at midnight, because he knew, and he turned to Paro and he said at midnight, and then Paro simply doesn't know. Meaning, remember, for him, how does he know about time? His astrologers, right? They're the ones who tell him, the Atstignine Paro. And they say, well, we think right now is midnight. And it turns out that it's not. So what's Paro going to say? And Moshe has no idea what he's talking about. So in order to anticipate, not Moshe's ignorance, Moshe wasn't ignorant, he knew exactly when midnight was, but to anticipate Paro's ignorance and Paro's astrologer's ignorance, so therefore he said right around midnight, because he knew that they weren't going to get it right on the money. And the Gemara says, and takeaway point from this story is get used to saying, I don't know. Right? You know me. If you've been around with me long enough, you'll know. I say it all the time. Say, I don't know. Especially when you really don't know. And if you say it long enough, you're good. Because you're never going to get caught. Meaning, if you pretend like you know something and you don't really know it. So the Gemara says, Nichshal. You're going to really stumble over yourself. Because you're going to give out the census aura of you know, and meanwhile you really don't know. And one lie ends up leading to another, which leads to another, and you're going to end up tripping over yourself. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar Bepaga Orta Tetleser Nagi Arbeisa Harva the Kai. Now the Gemara is going to give another explanation, meaning, like what we're assuming, Moshe knew. Moshe knew exactly when midnight was. Why is he saying Kachatzos? So the first pshat that we just offered was, well, maybe he was anticipating Paru would not know. And that's why he said Kachatzos. Rav Ashi is going to offer a different explanation. Bepaga Orta Tetleser Nagi Arbeisa Harva. Moshe was speaking to the Jewish people at midnight, 24 hours earlier, meaning the night of the 13th, the morning of the 14th, right? The night before Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what he's saying to the Jewish people is, Kachatzos, just like right now, meaning 24 hours from this moment. So, V'hachi kama Moshe Yisrael, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'machar, Kachatzos alayla ki ha'idna, ani yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim. And that's another explanation of Kachatzos. The Chaf is like a dimyon, meaning just like now, so tomorrow night, same exact time, we're going to leave Mitzrayim. We're back to David HaMelech. L'David Sharmanavshi ki chasid ani. David HaMelech proclaims himself to be a chasid. Now, I understand there's an issue of anivus over here, humility, what seems to be a lack thereof, a different discussion for a different time. But L'David Shamanavshi kachasid ani. Levi v'Rav Yitzchak, so there are going to be two explanations of what this pasuk means. Chad amar kach amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam lo chasid ani. Rhetorical question. Shekol malchei Mizrach u'Ma'arav yishenim ad shel shos v'ani chasas layla akum la'odos l'cha. So one explanation of David's chasidus is that he wakes up early in the morning. I know nowadays the chasid, it's the other way around. He gets to sleep in later for being a chassid. But David HaMelech says that he's a chassid because he wakes up early. The other kings enjoy their sleep. They sleep into the third hour of every day. But David HaMelech says, I get up in the middle of the night. Okay, so that's one explanation of why he describes himself as a chassid. The idach yamar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbanu Shalom. Lo chassid ani, shekol malchei Mizrach u'Ma'arav yoshvim, agudos, agudos bechvodam. The kings get together, and they have, you know, their little king assemblies and their king clutches, and okay, they revel in being the king. The ani yadayim aluchlachos bedam, and me, I get my hands bloody. Literally, I get my hands bloody. Uvishpir v'shalya, I'm looking at maros of dam for anida, and shpir and shalya, I'm looking at the afterbirth of a woman in order to determine kidei letaher isha levala. In order to determine, is this woman permitted to her husband or not? And you go through the Rashis. I'm not going to go through the Rashis now inside, meaning there are Maros Dam that are Tahor and Maros Dam that are Tameh. There are certain afterbirths which are Tahor versus that which is Tameh. And we go back to Masech Nida, and Rashi here quotes the Gemaras as well, in terms of what's Tahor and what's Tameh Lagabe, the birth and the blood. But in other words, the point of the Gemara is, I get my hands bloody. I'm right there with the people, and I do literally the dirty work. In order, and so I don't behave like royalty of the other kingdoms. And not only that, is that I don't do things on my own. I don't paskin halacha on my own. Everything I do, I ask mifiboshet. Rebbe, the Omer lo, mifiboshet, Rebbe, yafe danti, yafe chayafti, yafe zachisi, yafti tiharti, yafti timesi. I ask him on every psak that I offer. I go to Mifiboshet and I say to him, he's my Rebbe, did I do good? Did I judge well? It was a monetary case. It was a capital case. It was a case of Tumah Tahara. How did I do in all these cases? And so I asked him and I wasn't embarrassed. Am Rav Yehoshua Berei Deravidi Maikra V'Adabra Be'edosecha Neged Malachim V'lo Evosh. The pasuk that supports this idea is that I spoke be'edosech, I spoke about your laws, and I was not embarrassed. Tana lo mifiboshes shmo, ela ish boshes shmo. The truth of the matter is, his name is not mifiboshes. We find this throughout the Gemara, that people go by more than one name, and when that's the case, one name is his quote-unquote real name, and the other one is more of a descriptive term. It's an adjective. It's not a noun. So really, it's ish boshes, v'lama nikra shmo. Mifiboshes haya mivayish p'nei David b'halacha. He would end up embarrassing David HaMelech, because David HaMelech would ask the question, how'd I do? And sometimes Mephibosheth would say, you did terrible. You didn't paskin correctly. And lefichach zacha David v'yatzim mimenu kilav. David had a son. The son's name was Kilav. And as a result of David allowing himself to be embarrassed, so he had a son by the name of Kilav. What's so extraordinary about the son Kilav? V'am Rav Yochanan lo Kilav shmo, ala Daniel shmo. Now his name is really Daniel. Not to be confused with the Navi Daniel, 400 years later, more than 400 years later, but right, sometime later. But this is Daniel, meaning the son of David HaMelech. V'lama nikra shmo Kilav. Kilav is more of an adjective name. Shaya machlim p'nei mifibosheth. The word Kilav comes from the shorish of lahachlim, to embarrass. Ba'alacha, va'alav amr shlomo b'chachmaso, b'ni im chacham libcha yismach libi, gamani. He was able to take away, so to say, David's embarrassment. This Kilav. Now,
Shlomo HaMelech, was that person?
Now, Kilav and Daniel was also Shlomo HaMelech? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Doesn't see. Doesn't, right, correct. Understood, but I don't think so. Abigail, right? Rashi over here says that. Correct. So, does not seem like it's the same person. The point being like this, and this I have in my notes in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that we have over here. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry, I missed explaining one point of the Gemara important, in that what Kilav was able to do is all the embarrassment that David HaMelech suffered, so Kilav took away that embarrassment because Kilav was even greater in halacha than Mephibosheth. So it turns out that ended up that Kilav was able to overrule a lot of the rulings of Mephibosheth. Okay. I have in the name of the Vilna Gaon over here my notes. I don't know where to find this Vilna Gaon. I can't give you a Mar Makom. That Busha and Klima are basically the same thing. Busha is embarrassment, Klima is also embarrassment. Busha is self-generated, and Klima is the embarrassment that's caused by another person. So in other words, David HaMelech, his embarrassment was self-generated because he went over to Mephibosheth and he said to him, how am I doing? Right? And very often the answer was not so well. Right? So that's an embarrassment that was self-generated as opposed to Klima. Klima is a busha that comes from an external source.
It wasn't public. It doesn't seem like it was public. Yeah.
Not necessarily. In other words, it's not public versus private. It's just how the busha is generated. Now David referring to himself as a chassid. Interesting, says the Gemara. Right, pasuk, famous pasuk. I hope to see tuv Hashem Beretz Chaim. In other words, in the future, in Olam Haba, I hope to get a chiluk in Olam Haba. Now you look at a Tanakh, and you're going to see there are dots over the word lulei. We have this often. So time to time, we have this in Tanakh, where you have dots above the word. Right? In Chumash, where's the popular one? Yeshakeo is right. That's a good one, right? There's a bunch of them.
And
in Staros, that's the one I was thinking about. Very good. And Staros, Lashem Lakeinu, Velanu, huh?
Lanu
Levanenu. Okay, very good. So you have a number of times in Tanakh where you have dots over the word. The dots basically serve as almost like parentheses, meaning it's like take this word and minimize the word, meaning it's there, but it's like putting in parentheses. Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Muftach ani bach she'ata mishlem sachar tov letzadikim la'asid lavo. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's reward and punishment. Right? Basic yesod of our emuna is that schar va'onish, and I get it, and I understand that. Aval eini yodei im yesh li chelik b'neihem, but I don't know if I'm getting a portion. Im lav. I'm sorry, b'neim imlav, if not. Meaning, go back to the pasuk, let's read the pasuk again. Lulei ha'amanti loros b'tuv Hashem. Meaning, I hope that I'm going to get a portion of the world to come. And the dots over the lulei mean, I'm not sure. Meaning, I'm really hoping that I'm going to get a chelek, but I'm not particularly sure. So, what you get now is kind of mixed messages from David HaMelech. On one hand, he refers to himself as a chassid, meaning he's confident he's doing the right thing, and he's confident he's going to get rewarded. And then in this post, you get the sense of, I'm not particularly sure if I'm going to get rewarded. Okay? So where do we stand on David and his confidence? So, Shema Yigra Machet, Rashi says this is the answer to the question. Meaning, David knows he's doing the right thing, but he's worried about Chet. meaning what chet can do is it can take good that you've done, it can take a haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, and it can break it. And it can really undo it. Because Rav Yaakov Raidi, the Rav Yaakov Raidi Ramik Siv, V'inei Anochi Yimach V'shmaticha B'chol Asher Telech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov, I'm with you. I will be with you, I promise. So he receives the haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uksiv Ayira Yaakov Ba'od. Right, and then later on we find Yaakov is about to meet his brother Esav, and he's terrified, he's scared. So I understand, he had a haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm with you. And meanwhile, he has this fear when going to Esav. So Amar Shema Yigra Machet, and the explanation is because, yes, he had a haftacha, but there may be chet, and chet may undo. Kidet Tanya, and the Gemara is going to give another illustration, another example of this idea. Ad Yavorim Cha Hashem, Ad Yavorim Zu Kanisa. We have in Az Yashir two entrances back into Eretz Yisrael. The first one is to build Bayis Rishon, and the second one is to build Bayis Sheni. Ad Yavorim Cha Hashem Zu Biya Rishona, Ad Yavorim Zu Kanisa Zu Biya Shnia. Two times we go into Eretz Yisrael, once with Yoshua, and once again with Ezra. Mikanam ruchachamim ruuyim ayisrael leyasos lam neiz bimei Ezra kederuch shenasal lam bimei Yoshua ben Nun. It's really a hekesh. The two entrances into Eretz Yisrael are put side by side in the pasuk, and it should have gone along basically the same path. Meaning, when Yoshua comes in, nisim niflaos, tumbling of walls, conquering of all of Israel, very few casualties. All right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically guided Yoshua into Eretz Yisrael. Ezra, not as exciting. There was no kibush, there was no conquering. Ezra needed permission from the Persian government. He received permission from the Persian government. Only a trickle of the Jewish people came back to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra. It was not nearly as exciting as by Yoshua. Why not? The Torah says that they're side by side. Those two bias really should have been the same. Elishagar machet, but again, it's the same idea. But because of chet, so therefore the second bia was significantly reduced from the first bia. And it was not as exciting as the first bia because of gram chet, because of the cause of sin. So that is an illustration of the bia rishon versus bia shnia. We had that illustration by Yaakov Avinu, and we had it going back to David HaMelech as well, shema gar machet.
Okay, so gram machet means it's not. So you can't say it is.
In other words, there is a haftacha, but the reason why David was worried, Yaakov was worried, the Biashnia is because Shema Garam Achet. It's interesting, Biashnia, there was actually Gram Chet, right?
Right, so you can't make the Hekesh then.
The Hekesh works, but Gram Chet upends it.
So the third base of Mikdash will be completely different than all of them?
Third base of Mikdash, the Gemara here doesn't discuss. Is it going to be different? Yeah. Rashi brings down in Rosh Hashanah that it comes down, it's going to come down from Shemayim. Okay, a different topic. The Chachamim are mimad chatzos. The Chachamim say midnight. Now Chachamim come on Sfirlu. Now the Chachamim are holding like who? Ika Rabbi Elazar Sfirlu Lamer Ika Rabbi Elazar. Meaning fundamentally, who are the Chachamim agreeing with? Meaning we have a pasuk b'shach b'cha. Shach b'cha tells us that you have a kriya shema that you have to say at night when you go to bed. Now, when you go to bed can mean one of two things. It can mean, we've said this over before, meaning the physical act of going to bed or while you're lying down. Now, clearly in our Mishnah we have the position of Rav Gamliel, he understood it to be the latter. Rav Gamliel said you have the whole night. Meaning b'shach b'cha doesn't mean the act of going to bed. B'shach b'cha means you have the whole night. The whole time that you're lying down is Man Kriya Shema. So it starts at night, and it goes over the course of the whole night. That's Rami Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's the act of going to bed. So therefore, you're only given from Seisa Kochavim until the first Hashmara, which, according to Rabbi Elazar, there are three of them in the night, so 4 hours into the night. After the fourth hour of the night, people stop going to bed. Everyone's in bed already. Fine. So those are two ways to understand B'shach B'cha. So the Gemara now wants to know, where the Chachamim stand on this issue? They say till midnight. Are they fundamentally understanding the pasuk like Rabbi Gamliel? Or are they fundamentally understanding the pasuk like Rabbi Eliezer? That's the Gemara's question. Chachamim kaman sfirlu, ika Rabbi Elazar sfirlu, lemer ka Rabbi Elazar. So, it's hard, meaning midnight, I know we live in a different culture, meaning the I was just in New York last week, and my plane landed around 8, so we went out for dinner. And it was 10 o'clock at night, and people walking into the restaurant for the first time at 10 o'clock at night. And that's New York, meaning that's a New York life. And here, 10 o'clock at night, and you know... I mean, we laugh because it's, you know, the place is dead. Meaning, okay, but we live in a culture with electricity and people are up late at night. But in other words, by midnight already, no way people are going to bed. Everyone's in bed by that point in time. So it's hard to imagine that there's a position that midnight is when people are still going to bed. Hard to imagine, says the Gemara. The E karam and gamliel svir lehu, lema karam and gamliel. And if the Chachamim hold like Rav and Gamliel, so why don't you simply say all night? I mean, what is this midnight point exactly? It's a funny point in terms of defining B'shach B'cha. So, La'olam k'Rav and Gamliel, Sfer Lohu, V'ha de'ka'armi, Ad'chatzos k'de la'archik k'zada min ha'vera. True of the matter is, we knew this already, meaning it's pretty befarish in the Mishnah. The Gemara is just spelling it out. That really, fundamentally, the Chachamim agree with Rav and Gamliel. You really do have the whole night to say Shema. So what's midnight? Midnight is kedei laharchik es adam min avera, meaning you know what happens when it gets late, you get tired. So now here's the story. It's 10 o'clock at night. Shema, yeah, I got some more time later on. I'll do it later on. Okay. And you know what the outcome is going to be. You're going to end up falling asleep. So what the Chachamim say is, we know you have the whole night, but if you keep pushing it off, you're going to fall asleep, you're not going to say Shema. So therefore, we're going to say you have till midnight. Lichat chila, you have to midnight. It's exerid de rabbanan, it's to help people not skip Shema at night. Kidatanya Chachamim Asu Siyag L'Devrem Kedei Shlo Yadam Ba'al Minasad Ba'aref. The Braisa here beautifully illustrates how we are so good at procrastination. We come home from the field. Ve'omer Elech Levesi Ve'ochel Kima. So I'm going to come home. I'm not going to have a big meal. Meaning, right, having a big meal, I know it's going to make me tired. So I'm not going to eat a lot. I'll eat a little bit. Ve'eshta Kima, I'll drink just a little bit. Ve'ishan Kima, and I'll just take a little nap. Ve'achar Kach Ekor Kriya Shema Ve'espalol. And then afterwards, I'll say Kriya Shema Naldavin. V'chotfaso Sheinam. And then, obviously, you know the result, right? You're going to sleep. V'nimza Yeshin Kol Yashin Kol Laila. You're sleeping the whole night. Aval. So that's what you should not do, right? I hope everyone understands. Aval Adam Ba Minasad Berev. You come home at night, Nichnas LeBeis HaKnesses. And you should go directly to Shul. Emragolikros Kore. If you know Chumash, read Chumash. Emragolish No Shonif. If you know Mishnayos, so learn your Mishnayos. The Kore Kriyashma, then Davin. First Shema, Umispal, then Davin. And then Ochel Pito Mevarech. And then eat your bread. And of course, make a bracha as well. V'chola over al divrei chachamim chayiv misa. Now, violation of this. Meaning now, this order, this sequence, is mandated by the Torah? No. The sequence that was just provided to us is mandated by the Chachamim. But don't treat it lightly, says the Gemara, says the Braisa. But if you violate the words of the Chachamim, Rechayv Misa, Misa, of course, here meaning Misa B'dei Shemayim. Maishna b'chol duchta delo ketani chayiv Misa, Maishna hacha dektani chayiv Misa. Now, why did the Braisa have to punctuate itself by saying, and you better be cautious about this, otherwise you'll be chayiv Misa? There's so many gzeras de Rabbanan, and never do we find a punctuation like this, where if you don't listen, you're going to be chayiv misa. The Gemara says, yeah, because here, it's just so easy to fall asleep. So for fear of that, the Braisa had to be strong in its wording. Or also, you may think to yourself, Ma'ariv, well, we're going to learn later on, Davka Zion, one of the most famous dapim in Brachos, whether or not Mariv is a Rishus or it's a Chova. Is it optional or is it obligatory? Okay, we'll talk more about that later on in the Masechta. But you might have thought that Mariv is only optional. It's not obligatory. So, I gotta run to Shul. I gotta daven Mariv. So you may say to yourself, it's not such a big deal. I'll go home, I'll eat a little bit. In other words, like the Braisa first suggested. That's why the Braisa had to punctuate itself so strongly by saying Chayiv Misa, to tell us that Mariv is not a Rishus, it is a Chova. Okay? Is that the accepted halacha? Stay tuned, we'll talk more about that later on when we get to Daf Chav Zayin. We'll talk a little bit more about it today as well. Amar Mar. Kore Kriyashma Umispalo. Now, did you see something exciting in the Braisa that we just quoted? So, okay, exciting may not be the right word, but did you see something very interesting? In that the Braisa said that for Mariv, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say Kriyashma, and then you're going to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Right? That's Maariv. Now, by the way, when we say Kriyat Shema, obviously, but I'll just state the obvious, we mean, of course, with the brachos before and the brachos afterwards as well. But in other words, it's Shema, and then it's Shemoneh Esrei. Now, for all of us here in this room, that's Maariv, meaning what's so exciting about that? So as we're going to see in just a moment, it's subject to a debate in terms of what the correct order of Maariv is. Should it be Shema Shemoneh Esrei, or should it be Shemoneh Esrei, followed then by Shema? There's an opinion in the Gemara, which we're about to be exposed to, that it should be first Shemoneh Esrei and then Shema. Clearly, we don't hold like this position. Clearly, we hold that it's Shema Shemoneh Esrei, but we have now a Brisa, and the Gemara is going to point out that this Brisa is going to support what we do. Okay, let's see the machlokas inside. Amar Mar Kore Kriya Shema Umespal Mesayil Ele Rav Yochanan. Now, this is a strong support for Rav Yochanan. Da'am Rav Yochanan Ezu Ben Olam Haba. You want to know how to receive a portion of Olam Haba? Zehasomech Geula L'Tfila Shel Arvis. If you take Geula and you put it right next to Tfila of Maariv, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Omer Tfilas Bamsa Tiknum, and Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says no. For Maariv, you don't do that. You don't do Geula Tfila. In other words, for Maariv, what you do is you first daven Shemoneh Esrei, and then afterwards you say Shema. Tfilos be'emsa tiknum, meaning that Shema, according to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, are the bookends. Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening, they're bookends. And what's in between, what's in between the sandwich? Shemoneh Esrei. So in the morning, you'll put Shemoneh Esrei after Shema. In the evening, you'll put Shemoneh Esrei before the Shema. It
makes sense. You could not start davening a little faster.
Well, we'll give the rationale of Rav Yeshua ben Levi in just a moment. Okay, let's spend a couple minutes right now talking about Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that if you're somech gula tefila, you're a ben olam haba. And he says, somech gula tefila shamariv. So Rashi points out the following. First of all, why does he say shamariv? Because by shacharis, it's a no-brainer. Meaning, by shacharis, you must be somech gula tefila. Right, this is a big idea. And it's a big deal. That when you daven, so the first thing you need to do is you need to mention the geula, which is what we do. Meaning we say Shema. First of all, incorporated in Shema, in the third paragraph of Shema, is Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then after that, the Chachamim instituted a bracha after that. In the morning, it's Emes V'Yatziv. In the evening, it's Emes V'Emunah. And that bracha talks about the geula, Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then how does that bracha end? What are the words of the bracha, the chasim of that bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. So that is Geula. And then what's the requirement? Somech Geula L'Tfila. Immediately after that, you go right into davening. And he says, and if you do this, you're a Ben Olam Haba. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, you have to do it both at Shacharis, and you have to do it at Maariv as well. Okay, so let's start off first with, why is this so important? The Gemara does not explain the significance of being Somech Geula L'Tfila. So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi quotes a Gemara Yerushalmi. And the Gemara Yerushalmi basically says like this. You want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you speak to Him. Meaning, let's understand. When we say we daven, davening really Shemoneh Esrei. Meaning, our talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shemoneh Esrei. That's really the dialogue. That's when we engage in conversation. Okay. So everything before that is, so to say, preparation. So the way Rashi explains it, quoting the Yerushalmi, is we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to see Rashi inside, I'll just quote the end of the Rashi. Ela ye'adam mekariv l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu elav, u'miratzeu b'stishbachos v'klosav shel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? There's no better way that we could praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim. All the nisim, all the neflos, all the great things that took place. V'hu miskarev elav. And now, by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'v'odo karev elav, yesh lo l'tvoa tzrachav. Now you're close to him. Now you can have a conversation. Now you can engage in conversation. That is Rashi's understanding of why it's so important to be Somech Geula Tefila. Okay. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah commentary to the Rif. Most Masechet was a commentary to the Rif is Aran in Brachos for reasons I do not know why. We don't have Aran on. The Rif, but published in the back, the Rif is Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, who writes a Perush, and he suggests one of two reasons why You're somech geula letfila. What is this whole idea of why is it so important to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim right before you daven? So if you'd like to see it inside, it's on Dav Beis Amud Beis in the Daf Arif. And he writes like this: Yesh lamar v'chim im neishu somech geula letfila yesh lo schar kol kach chiyah ben olam haba v'omer mori arav. So he quotes his Rebbe. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim? It's really one reason. So we could be enslaved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning for 430 years, which I know we'll do a little computation. So you want to say 210. But for 2 centuries/4 centuries, we were slaves to Mitzrayim. We were slaves to the Egyptians. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes us out. In other words, freedom. I know in America we have this idea behind freedom. But for us, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we become Avdei Hashem. Shenemar ki avadai hem asher utseisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Uve birchas gal Yisrael mazker ba hacheset sha'asa imanu aborei. Va'tfila hi avoda. And what's tfila? Tfila is avoda. So, says Rabbeinu Yonah, we first mentioned that Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. We think to ourselves, and the purpose of which is so that we could be now His Avadim. Now that we're His Avadim, so what do? Avoda. What's the Avoda? Davening Shmoneh Esrei. That's one pshat Rabbeinu Yonah gives in being Samech Gula Tfila. He offers another pshat as well. Va'odam Amori. He quotes another pshat in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yonah. It's an inyan of haftacha of emuna, meaning Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt, and if he can do that, he can do pretty much whatever he would like. Not pretty much. And so therefore, by mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, we strengthen our emunah and our bitachon in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then what do? We daven. We strengthen the davening. So Rabbeinu Yonah offers these two explanations in addition to Rashi's explanation in terms of why it's so important to be somach geula l'tfila. Okay, let's go back to our Gemara. So we have over here now a machlokus about whether this is required at Mariv. Shacharis, everyone agrees. You have to be somach geula l'tfila. What about a Mariv? Subject to a debate. So we have machlok between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Yochanan says, yes, Mariv as well. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, no, you no need a Mariv to be some of Gula and Tfila. And so therefore his Mariv is much different than ours. It's the opposite. First he would daven Shmoneh Esrei, and then he would say Ishma. Now the Gemara goes through a little discussion over here. Omer Tfilas Mentzer Tikkun. B'mai Kamiflagi. Right, last short line of the Amud. So the Gemara says it could be either they're arguing about rationale and logic, or they could be arguing about how to understand Pesukim. Meaning like this. Rav Yochanan says, look, I ask you, when do we leave Egypt? The primary geula was at night or in the morning? I know it's a little bit of a brain teaser. But when was the primary geula? I asked the question, really morning. Meaning, nighttime, Kadosh Baruch Hu came into Egypt, Kadosh Baruch Hu killed the firstborns, but when did we actually leave? We left in the morning. Morning is the primary geula. So geula, now, for those of you who said night, you're not wrong. Meaning, the geula started at the night. Right, the process started at night, but in other words, but we left in the morning. Fine. So Rav Yochanan Savar Geula Miorta Nami Have. So Rav Yochanan says exactly that. Meaning there's Geula at night and there was Geula in the morning. Everyone agrees we left in the morning. But it started at night. So Ela Geula Ma'alya Lo Havia Ela Ad Safra. But the Geula Ma'alyasa, the real Geula, when we actually left, that came in the morning. Good. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And so that means then that this requirement of being Somach Geula L'Tfila is true both in the morning, which is the primary geula, and at night as well. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi Safar came into Lo Havi Ela Mitzafar Lo Havi Geula Ma'al Yasa. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, no, that I really only look at the morning. The morning is only the primary geula. It's the only geula as far as I'm concerned, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The night was preparation, but that wasn't real geula. So therefore, the requirement of being somewhat geula tefillah is only in the morning, not at the night. And so therefore, in the morning, it's Shema followed by Shemona Esrei, and at night, the order gets reversed. It could be that their understanding, what the Nekuda Machlokas is how to understand the Pasuk. Dichsiv b'shach b'chav k'mecha. Rav Yochanan Savar, make yishchiv l'kima. Ma'kima kriya shma v'achar kach tefila, afshchiv anami kriya shma v'achar kach tefila. The way Rav Yochanan understands the Pasuk, there has to be a symmetry between the morning Shema and the evening Shema. Morning Shema is Shema, followed by Shema Nesrei. Evening Shema, same story. Rav Yeshua ben Levi Savar, make yishchiv l'kima. Ma'kima kriya shma samach l'mitaso, afshchiva nami kriya shma samach l'mitaso. And it could be that Rav Yeshua ben Levi also learns the same hekesh, but actually walks away with a different conclusion. Just like in the morning, right after you get up, shma, so too in the evening, right before you go to bed, shma. And you shouldn't have shmona esrei interrupting. Meisav marbrei de ravina berav mevarach shem lefanev v'sham l'acharel, v'yamart by lismoch, ha'lo kasamach gula tzvila. The Gemara asks a very basic question. So you're telling me that according to Rav Yochanan, there's the requirement of being samech gula tefillah, both in the morning and in the evening. Now the morning is really simple, because after Shema there's one bracha, and that bracha is a bracha about geula. Good. So in the morning, we can all agree we're being samech gula tefillah. But let's go to Maariv. So what happens at Maariv? So Maariv, the bracha after Shema is twofold. First of all, it's two brachas, it's not one bracha after Shema. And number two, is that that second bracha has nothing to do with geula. Hashkivenu. So, the first, Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad, that second bracha is not about geula. So, the question is a very simple question. What the Chachamim did after Maariv is they instituted two brachas, the first one being about geula, but the second one about HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us. So, how are we being Mekayim, the issue, the inyan of being Somech Geula Tefillah, if there's another bracha after the Shema at Maariv, v'shtam lacharav yamar by lismoch la haloka samech gula l'tfila da habay l'meim ashki veinu. The Gemara gives a fundamental answer. Amrei, they said, kaven de takin rabbanan hashki veinu ki geula arich de damya. Once hashki veinu was instituted by the chachamim, so therefore it is like geula arichta. It is like an extension of the bracha prior, and so therefore we are being somat gula l'tfila. And the Gemara says, and I'm going to support this with another idea as well. Dilo temahachi shachri techamatzi samech. V'amar av Yochanan b'tchila omer Hashem s'fasai tiftach. What happens in the beginning of Shemona Esrei? Shemona Esrei begins at what point precisely? So, Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melokei avoseinu, meaning it's 18 brachas. So the first bracha begins with the words, Baruch atah Hashem. And meanwhile, prior to that, we all do it. It's in the Siddur. We say six words before Shemona Esrei. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. Ufi Agiti Lasecha. How is that not a break between Geula L'Tfila? And the answer is, intuitively, we all know the answer. Ula V'Sofu Omer Ayula Sarem Yifi. Ela Hasam Kevin T'Takin Rabban L'Meim Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. K'Tfila Arich T'Damya. Once the Chachamim instituted the saying of Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, it becomes part of the corpus of Shemona Esrei. And so therefore, it is Shemona Esrei. And now we're going to go the other direction. Meaning, what about Hashkiveinu? That's part of the Geula. It's an extension of Geula. Hachanami. Based on what the Gemara just said, we can explain another aspect of our Maariv, which Tosus is bothered by. We have a minhag here in Chutz La'aretz. They did it in Europe. We do it here in America. We say this long, and this is an old minhag, after Hashkivenu and after Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad, so many of the minhag, Sfardim, you do it as well?
No.
I didn't think so. We have a minhag of saying Yirei Neinu. It's a long paragraph, and not only is it a long paragraph, it ends with a bracha. So why isn't that an interruption between Geula L'Tfila? And while we're at it, we can also throw in another question as well. There's a Kaddish. Right after the brachos of Shema and Maariv, so instead of going right to Shemona Esrei, so there's Kaddish. Well, how did that Kaddish get in there? Isn't that a break between Geula L'Tfila? Okay, These are two legitimate questions. Tosfos is bothered by both of these questions. Nira. See the longer Tosfos on this Amud. Ho v'takinu l'rabban ha'avalik ha'gul ha'rech v'takinu l'amar z'esh v'toch kach yispal chavero gam hu v'lo yelech. Did I skip a line? Yeah, I skipped an important line. I apologize. I'm going to go back. V'anu sha'omrim yiro einenu u'psukim acherim acher ashkivenu. So what do we do, says Tosfos? We say the paragraphs of Yireinenu. Now, historically, I do not know when this got inserted into the Siddur. And by the Sfardim not saying it, and the Ashkenazim and Eretz Yisrael don't say it as well, and Minag Chabad does not say it. So I'm only left to guess, but I'm guessing, though. This is wild speculation on my part, that this somehow got put in by the Ashkenazic Rishonim. I don't know. I really don't know. So anyway, but it's there. It's in the Siddur. And Tosus is already addressing it. So this is obviously an old minog of saying Yireinenu. So Tosus is bothered by the fact, how do we do that? Nireh, so Tosus now explaining, Ho v'takinu l'rabbanan havalei k'geula arichta, d'takinu l'omar zeshe b'toch kachis pal chaveru gam hu, v'lo yelech mi beis ha'knesses ad shigmar kol echat filoso. And why is it put in there? So Tosus gives an explanation, and we've seen this explanation offered in other places as well. So, right, in order so that people would wait for one another. Some people come in late to shul. No one wants to be left alone in shul. So you have these psukim. So for those people who come in late, so at least he'll know that he'll have some catch-up time because everyone else is saying, Yireinenu. Okay. And I guess farim don't come late to shul, so that's why they never instituted it. That's... What? Now, for those of you who say Yireinenu, okay? So, first of all, note the following. It says Hashem's name 18 times in the paragraph of Yireinenu. Keneged Yudches Brachos Teshmona Esrei. It's kind of like a mini Shmona Esrei, so to say. V'agav Shetikna Lomar Osam Psukim Tikna Lomar Chasim Eshol Yireinenu. And oh, by the way, in other words, once these Psukim were instituted, so they instituted a Bracha as well. Okay, it is fascinating, meaning it's not just more psukim that are added, but another bracha that's added as well. Okay, but it's there. And oh, by the way, what's the halacha? So we all know what the halacha is because we all daven Maariv nightly, but Tosfos tells us that not like Rav Yeshua ben Levi, but rather like Rav Yochanan, it's Shema with the brachos, followed then by Shmon Esrei. V'im ken yesh lizar shalol saper ben gula darvus Shmon Esrei. Now, don't talk between Shema and Shmon Esrei of Maariv. Okay? You might have thought, meaning don't talk in davening altogether, but meaning you might have thought that it's no problem making a break between Shema and Shmon Esrei of Maariv. That's not correct, meaning we pass like Rav Yochanan. So therefore we need to connect Geula L'Tfila at Maariv as well. So it should not be a hefsek and do not talk. Umiu b'seder Rav Amram perish mashan orman kadosh ben Geula L'Tfila. Now he quotes Seder of Amram. And Seder of Amram is now going to explain the following. How do we say Kaddish? How can we say Kaddish between Maariv and between Shema and Shmon Esrei of Maariv? So, he quotes Seder of Amram and Rav Amram, who's a Gaon. And he makes the following explanation. He says, Rav Amram, there's no requirement of being Shmon Gula Tefillah by Maariv. And on top of that, Maariv at night is optional. It's not an obligation. And so that's why Kaddish is put in over there.
Why? The fact that it's optional, why should they be a Kaddish?
Okay, so give me a moment. It's a very legitimate question. V'lo nihira. And Tosfos says, I do not buy that. The Im Kein Rav Yochanan Sfer Le'Tfilas Arv is Chova. And that would put Rav Yochanan on the position, on the side, that Maariv is Rishus. Meaning, if Rav Amram is right, so then it would put Rav Yochanan on the Kia. It would put Rav Yochanan in the camp that Tfilas Maariv is a Chova. The Plukti Hid Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rav Yochanan. So, and that happens not to be the accepted Halacha, meaning Maariv is a Rishus. That's the accepted Halacha, as we'll talk about later. And we'll talk more about Maariv being a Rishus later on. V'nachon la'achmir v'le'ezarim l'saper bein tayim. V'itayim akashi hilchasa hilchasa. D'kayim alon tefila arvis Rishus. V'hachapaskin and k'rav Yochanan. So now Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. Okay. Let's try to put everything together. Marv is a Rishos. That's the Gemara's conclusion later on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. On the other hand, however, we paskin here in our Gemara like Rav Yochanan, that there is a requirement of being Samech Gula L'Tefila. So, Tosfos, I'm a little bit confused. If Marv is a Rishos, so then why is there a requirement of being Samech Gula L'Tefila by Marv? Very simple question. So, Tosfos over here offers the following explanation. And I'm not saying I fully understand this, but I'll read it. The Tfaz of Rishus, Vahacha Baskin Karav Yochan Sarach Lamar, Dafilo, Isavar of Yochan and Karav, Damar Rishusi, Mikomakom, Mechayev Lismoch, Imkain Gamlan Yesh Lismoch. So Tosfos answers that even if Rav Yochanan holds like Rav that says that it's a Rishus, nevertheless you have to be Somech. Doesn't sound like much of an explanation. Sounds more like just a statement of fact. All right.
If you daven, you have to do it. It's a method of davening.
It's a method of davening. You daven, you have to say it. Okay. All right. I want to finish a little bit more Gemara for today. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Just give me a couple more minutes and we'll finish up. Amar Avivini. The importance of saying Ashrei. Yeah, we all know this Gemara. Good. So, if you say it three times a day, you're muftach lusha ben olam haba. My time are yilei mishum de asya b'alav beis. So, maybe it's because it follows the olive base, and that's significant. So, name Ashrei timimei derech. De asya b'tamanya alafin. Well, why don't we say kapitol kuf yates? Now, the Gemara suggestion over here, talk about making shul exciting. Instead of saying Ashrei, which is only 22 psukim and not even, it's really 21 because we take out one of the letters, which we'll talk about. But Kapitel Kuf Yates has 176 psukim. The Gemara now is making a suggestion that instead of Ashrei, you say chapter 119 of Tehillim. Oh boy. So the Gemara says, okay, it's the line in Ashrei, in addition to that, of Poseches Yadecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu supplies and sustains every creature. Yeah, but you have Halal HaGadol, which also, right, Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav, which also has the idea of Nosin Lechem L'Chol Basar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in Ashrei you got two things going on. You got the olive base, and you got Poseches Yadecha. I'm Rav Yochanan Mimnei Malo Ne'amar Nun Ba'ashrei. Famous question, famous Gemara. Nun and Ashrei is missing. Mimnei Sheyesh Bo Ma'palasim Shalchson Yisrael Dechziv Nafla Lo Sosif Kum Besulas Yisrael. It's a reference to our downfall. The word Nun, Nafla. Ben Ma'arava, by the way, we all know Sona Yisrael is a euphemism. It actually refers to us. But Ma'arav and Metarze Elai Hachi Nafla Velo Sosuf Linpol Ad Kum Besulas Yisrael. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afilo Hachi Chazer David V'Samcham Beruach Hakodesh. Now, even though we don't want to have a whole pasuk for our Nafila, but it's alluded to in the very next pasuk in Ashrei. Shenamar Somech Hashem Lechol Hanofalim. One more piece of Agadata, and then we end. Amar Rav Elazar Bar Avina Gadol Mashenamar B'Michal Yosef M'Mashenamar B'Gavriel. The Ilu b'Michal, we are comparing Malachim one to another. B'Michal it says Vayaf Eli Echad Minasrafim. The Ilu Gabi Gavriel Ksiv Vayish Gavriel Asher Vayisi B'Chazon B'Tchila Ma'uf B'Ya'ef. One flight, two flights. We are deep in the world of Agadata. This is literally above my head. My Mashma Dahay Echad Michal Hu. Now, how do we know that the one reference in the first pasuk is Michal Amar Rav Yochanan Asya Echad Echad? Identifying the first malach as Michal. Tani Michal ba'achas gavriel b'shtaim Eliyahu ba'arba. Eliyahu flew four flights. Malach ha'mavis b'shmona. V'shas ha'magefa ba'achas. Now it takes Malach ha'mavis eight flights to get here, but b'shas ha'magefa he has a non-stop flight. Okay.
Wait, why is the
eight white
take?
Okay.